Welcome into week number two of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN, brought to you by the folks at Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. The regular crew along with us here once again this week, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Molinex, and myself, Chris Parks. We'll take a look back at how we did last week, and then we'll get started with eight picks here on our sheet this week as well. We'll get started here in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look at how we fared last week in week number one. And, you know, Doug, I think you're trying to sandbag here early on in the season. Get that handicap up there for you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I can win from behind. I can win from in front. I mean, okay. Whatever we need to do.
Okay.
I think I was a little bit mean to Jim last week, and that was probably a little karma coming back. So I apologize. I'm going to be nice the rest of the program.
I didn't take offense to anything. What was said, I don't even remember what was said. I'll have to go back and review the tape.
Yeah,
good thing you were sick.
Yeah.
It is just week one, so no big deal. But the way it went last week for us, Matt went 7-1 with his pick, so he has got the lead here early on. I was 6-2 right behind him. Jim went 5-3, and Doug went 3-5, and here's how the games played out. Exira EHK and Audubon, that was our broadcast game last week, and it was Audubon hanging on to the lead down the stretch and getting the win, 38-32, as the Wheelers take a win in their first eight-man contest as program. Also, another eight-man game, it was Fremont Mills shutting out Lennox 42-0, the final there. By the way, that first game we split. It was Audubon, the pick for Matt and myself, and Jim and Doug had Exira EHK, so they lost that one there. For that Fremont Mills Lennox game, Doug had a limb pick, and that limb broke off and fell way, way, way to the ground as Fremont Mills gets that 42-0 shutout. Also, St. Albert topped Logan Magnolia 23-6, and three of us had St. Albert. I was the one left out on a limb that time with Logan Magnolia, so Doug, Matt, and Jim had a win there with the Falcons. ACGC in West Central Valley, a back-and-forth game there. The Chargers lose their first contest as a combined program as 19-12, the final score there. The West Central Valley gets the win. Matt and Jim had the correct pick there. Doug and myself lost with the Chargers. Underwood beat Trainer 35-7, and Doug and myself had the pick there on that one with Underwood, and Trainer was a loser there for Matt and Jim. A pretty surprising score, I guess, as far as the margin in that one is concerned. AHSTW played host to Shenandoah, and it was the Vikings eking out an overtime victory, 13-6. That was a winner for Matt and myself. Doug and Jim were left with a loss there with Shenandoah. Harlan was a loser to Lewis Central. Lewis Central, big win there, and actually their first ever home victory against the Harlan Cyclones. 45-13, the final there, and that was a winner for everybody but Doug. Doug was left out on a limb on that one again.
They dropped a bomb on you.
They did. I'm a little disappointed in the Cyclones, but, you know, LC's the real deal, I think.
Yeah, they had a very good performance there, and they talked about their young quarterback. He had a great game for them there in that game. Atlantic then getting the victory late in the contest as they kicked the field goal to get the victory 16-14 over Clarinda, and the Mike McDermott era begins with a win there for the Trojans, so that was a win for everybody. We all had Atlantic there in that contest. All right, that's how we did in week number one. Let's get right into our picks here for week number two, and we've got a couple of eight-man games to get us started here, and the first one is one of the teams that we got to see last week in the Audubon Wheelers as they go back home for their first home eight-man game against the Cam Cougars, another team from the area that they don't get the chance to play, but now do. And should be an interesting matchup. I guess we'll let Top Dog get us started here this week. Matt, what do you think about this one?
Okay, well, right out of the gate, I like Audubon this week. I think the way they played last week, it was a good ball game, a good start for them, especially at the eight-man level. And I think they probably just they'll be able to build off of that from last week. Probably feel that they have a few things that they can just clean up a little bit, and they're just going to get better and better as the season goes on.
All right, that's one for the Wheelers. I'm going to make it two for the Wheelers. I really was impressed. One player in particular, of course, Tyler Reboff gets a lot of the attention being the quarterback, but I thought Nolan Smith was a standout player on the field last week for the Wheelers. He was really good running the football. He's got an extra level of speed that a lot of players aren't used to, and he did a terrific job on defense. He was getting in that backfield a lot off the edge and making plays for Audubon. They got some good pieces. They've got some talented players in the skill positions, and they got just enough size, I think, to gum things up in the middle, and they should have an interesting season. I like the Wheelers here in this one. Jim?
Yeah, and I was really impressed with the way Audubon kind of brought an 11-man toughness to an 8-man football game. I don't think they really changed a lot of their philosophies from the past when they came into the 8-man game. And I guess I didn't even realize until after I looked at the numbers later on, I was really kind of impressed with the way they blocked and the way they attacked at the line of scrimmage. And I thought their running game was pretty good. I didn't realize Tyler Reboff was 14 out of 15 for 195 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's almost perfect. I had no idea that it turned out that well, but I think that's a credit to their running game opening up a lot of opportunities there too. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I did not pick Audubon last week. I thought there would be a little bit of a transition period there, but apparently they've figured it out right out of the gate. I'm going to go with the Wheelers this week.
That's three for the Wheelers. Doug?
Yeah, 93% on that passing percentage there for Reboff. So, yeah, very impressive. And then, you know, Cam had a pretty good game versus Murray, but, you know, I think they're going to have to clean up a little bit of their passing. Passing percentage a little bit lower for Cam with a couple interceptions. So clean up that passing game. They did run well out of the quarterback position, though, quite a few yards rushing there. So, you know, I think Cam can make it a tight ball game, a good ball game, but at home, I'm going to take Audubon.
All right, that's a sweep across the board there for the Wheelers, and yeah, Thomas Hensley for Cam didn't have a nice performance last week with 131 yards on the ground aside from his throwing, but we all like the Wheelers here in this first one. We'll move on here to our next eight-man game, and another team that we saw last week, as Exira EHK has another tough test here to start the season as they go on the road and travel to face Bedford here in week number two, and I guess I get first crack here at this one. Was impressed with the way that Exira EHK fought last week. You know that a team coached by Tom Peterson's not going to roll over and lay down, and they certainly didn't do that in that game against Audubon. Came out right away in the second half and got a stop and got a score to get themselves right back in the game. They were, you know, you think maybe there are five more minutes in that game, maybe Exira EHK wins. They have some impressive athletes. I was impressed with Kyle Peterson. He's got a pretty good arm, and they had some nice throws downfield once they kind of opened it up in the second half a little bit, and I think that'll help them take advantage of some other teams that they face here down the road. Bedford also had a close win over Sydney, 24-22, so they're 1-0 to start the season. Sam McMillan, it looks like, is the guy to stop for them. He had 200 yards on the ground last week and 3 touchdowns, so it'll be a guy you focus on, but I think the Spartans, if they know they need to do that, they will be doing that. And I like Exira EHK to bounce back and get a road victory here this week. So one for the Spartans. Jim, what do you think?
Well, Exira EHK needs to get better at the line of scrimmage. I didn't think they were very good last week at the line of scrimmage. If they had that glaring weakness, I thought that was it. It seemed like they either hit on a play or they gained nothing. And they had too many plays where they gained nothing. And it just kind of stymied some of those drives. They had opportunities in the second half when they got back into the ball game again to even take a lead. And they just never were able to string together enough plays to march the ball upfield once they got back in it again. And I, you know, some of that is Audubon's defense. Like I said, they did a great job at the line of scrimmage. This will be a tough road test for Exira EHK, but I'm having a hard time believing that Spartans will start 0-2. So for that reason, I'm going to take Exira EHK tonight.
Two for the Spartans. Doug, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it depends if they can keep all their star players healthy. I think Buchholz went out with an injury a little bit during that game, and then I think came back. Don't know how severe that was, but, you know, hopefully they keep him healthy. And if they can stop Bedford's running back, you know, I think they didn't – Bedford did not pass the ball very much at all, you know, so they're certainly focusing on the ground game and will be. But I think EHK has the talent to stop one threat, and I'm going to take the Spartans on the road.
All right, that's three for the Spartans. Matt, do we make it a sweep?
Well, it is a long road trip for Xyrie Alcorn-Kibbleton down to Bedford. Bedford, like we've kind of said, they put up 318 rushing yards in the past couple of years. Sydney has been a tough eight-man team, been in the playoffs. Bedford's making this transition from 11-man down to eight-man. And, you know, at the 11-man level, they've had a very, very strong tradition and history in there. This is, it'll be a good ball game. Bedford, I think, making that transition, kind of similar to Audubon, I think is going to have the edge. They've got a lot of seniors in there as well, especially up front, and I think that's going to be the difference. Tough defensive ball club, so I'm going to go with the Bedford Bulldogs at home.
All right, so limb pick there for Matt with Bedford.
Sean Schaefer have more eligibility left that I don't know about?
Sean Schaefer.
That's a look at our first two games here on the sheet. We will transition to some 11-man picks here for you in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back here on Who's Gonna Win as we move on to 11-man football, and we start off with a Class A matchup. West Monona goes on the road to Grizzled to take on the Tigers. And Jim, you get first crack here.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about this game. I'm going to make this really quick and simple. Grizzled's at home. I'm going to take Grizzled. How's that sound?
All right. Easy enough. That's one for the Tigers.
I don't think either one of these teams really played all that well last week.
No.
And it just, something's got to give. Somebody's got to figure something out and get that improvement going from week to week. So
that's one for the home team. One for the Tigers. Doug, what do you think?
Well, I may not be able to predict the victor in this game, but I will predict that there's going to be a lot of rushing. I don't think they're going to be passing the ball. Now, you can't always rely on quick stats, but Griswold did not complete a pass last week, so they had no yards passing at all, and there was no stats entered for West Monona for passing. They did have rushing stats there, so I don't know if they just failed to enter them or they don't throw the ball at all. So I think there'll be some ground game. You know, I think Griswold did drop the game last week, but they played Mo Valley on the road, tough team. So I'm going to look for Griswold to turn it around and even up the record at 1-1.
All right, that's two for the Tigers. Matt.
Yeah, I think you've got West Monona, like Doug said, they didn't pass yards, 280 of rushing yards against Riverside last week. And then on the flip side, you've got Grizzled, who played a tough Missouri Valley ball club, wasn't able to put up some numbers, wasn't able really to move the ball as much. But this week, that's kind of like what you guys have said. It's a tough game to gauge here, I guess. So not to really give up any ground, I guess, I'm going to go with Grizzled.
All right, that's three there for the Grizzled Tigers, and I'm going to go ahead and make it four. because I think Grizzled has some ability to bounce back here a little bit. Yeah, it was a tough outing against Missouri Valley. Didn't put any points up on the board. Corey Grubel is one of their big running backs coming back here this season. He didn't gain much, had 16 attempts, 67 yards last week. I think they do have a few upperclassmen that can help him out a little bit. Wyatt Robinette led them with 17 tackles in the game last week, and certainly guys like that will help you out on the defensive side of the ball. For West Monona, they're pretty similar. They're a really young team. They lost or they won over Riverside 18-0, but yeah, they're really young too as well. So they put up a little bit more yardage last week, but I think they had maybe a little bit easier outing in their first game of the year. So make it a sweep for the Grizzled Tigers in that one. Next game on the sheet is a 1A matchup between Tri-Center and Riverside. So Riverside, after losing to West Monona, trying to bounce back. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, Riverside had a tough time producing any offense last week. I think they added that up quickly, and it was 84 yards of total offense. So they really struggled to get the ball down the field. And Tri-Center, I was impressed. They had three backs that actually all had 100 yards rushing, easy for me to say, with some pretty nice average yards per carry too. So I'm going to take Tri-Center.
That's one for Tri-Center. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to take Tri-Center as well. Doug said it all. Tri-Center in a close loss was able to put up some big numbers, over 400 yards of rushing as a team. And Maple Valley is a real good ball club again this year. So I think Tri-Center picks up the win, and they're going to have a pretty good season.
All right, another one there for Tri-Center. Yeah, they lost that game 28-21 to Maple Valley Anthon Otto last week. But you mentioned Tyler Paulson, Ben Sorensen, Caden Carragas also went over 100 yards. So a nice outing there for Tri-Center. And I'll take Tri-Center as well. I think they've got more talent here in this game. Jim?
Well, you guys sounded pretty intelligent in all of that thing you said there about Tri-Center, so who am I to go against the flow here? We'll just go with Tri-Center.
All right, clean sweep across the board there for Tri-Center. We'll move on to another matchup here. This time it's a Class 2A versus Class A matchup, and two schools that you're very familiar with here in the area, and Hawkeye 10 members, Kemper Catholic, goes on the road to travel against St. Albert here in a tough matchup. And Matt, you get first crack here at this one.
Okay. Well, this will probably be a pretty good matchup in Southwest Iowa this week, a game that a lot of people will take some interest in because you've got two ball clubs that are looking to have pretty good seasons. But I think, in my opinion, Kemper Catholic's going to have the upper hand, even though it's at St. Albert. That's an awfully tough facility to play at. But I think Kemper, they've got Rue Piper back there to running back. He had a good ball game. Von Wolfgang Kraus. He'll have he looks like he kind of gets the workload up there. But, Kemper Catholic is a really good couple upper classes upperclassmen in there, and so I'd look for them to come out on top.
Is he a classical musician?
He might be.
Or does he have a
he orchestrated the win?
Does he have a pina colada at Trader Vic's?
His hair is perfect. The win there for Kemper Catholic. That's all right. Win for Kemper Catholic there, according to Matt. And I am going to agree. I like the way Kemper played in week number one. That was an emphatic win over Greene County, 34-0. St. Albert, I was impressed with their win, too. That 23-6 win over Logan Magnolia was nice as well. But I think the experience belongs to Kemper Catholic. They've got some upperclassmen that have been there before. I do like the Rue Piper kid there at running back. He's really having a good year so far, and I'll go with Kemper Catholic here on the road. Jim?
Remember what I said earlier about you guys being smart, so why should I go against the grain?
Yes, I do.
It's over! I'm going with St. Albert at home. I got to pick up some ground here somewhere. I'm two games behind Matt, and I just got two games different on him, so I think we're tied.
There you go.
So I'm going to try St. Albert at home. Yeah. Or I'm Doug. one or the other. I'm going to try St. Albert at home. I like Matt's. That's a tough place to go play. It always has been. They have some solid ball players, and we'll give that a shot and see if I can make up a game here. It's not a bad place to try.
All right, Doug, are we going to split it up, or are you going to leave him out there?
Well, I was impressed with Rue Piper's game. He averaged, I think, 16 yards a carry and three touchdowns last week versus, of course, Greene County. I don't know how good they are. But it was interesting, a little stat that I picked up, that for the first time in about 20 years, Kemper Catholic and Carroll High are actually not going to play. So they won't be able to, you know, determine the swagger of who will have the swagger up there in Carroll, you know, who's got the bragging rights, so to speak. And it was interesting that
Carroll... Kind of a shocker, isn't it?
It is a shocker, really. They're not playing. But Kemper, or Carroll High's coach even said that it was Kemper that had chosen not to play. Asked specifically not to. So it was interesting that that was brought out in the media. But anyway, I was really impressed with St. Albert as their defense. They limited Lomont to 130 yards rush, or 130 yards total offense. So they're definitely a defensive oriented squad, I think. And I think the Falcons are going to shut down Miles Roepiper, and I'm going to take St. Albert at home.
All right, you're going to split it up. Two teams that possibly have an eye on making it to the Dome here this year. So two wins for Kemper.
Point of order, did I just make the same pick as the guy who went 3-5 last week?
You did.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure of that.
Matter of fact, your entire schedule so far is the same. Yeah.
Hmm. Thanks, Matt.
We'll see how that works out
for you. We can go 8-0, Jim. That's fine. I'm ready.
All right, one more game here before we take a little break. It's Underwood at Logan Magnolia, a 2A, 1A matchup. Of course, Underwood with their big win over Trainer last week, and then Logan Magnolia with that loss to St. Albert. I guess I get first look here at this one this time. I was pretty impressed with the way that Underwood played. They put up some pretty good numbers. It looks like they're going to try to sling it around maybe a little bit more than they have in the past, as Jared Martin threw for 199 yards and a touchdown there, and they're big returner as far as offensive production. Isaiah Humphrey had a really good game, both running and catching the ball. So I like what Underwood is doing. Logan Magnolia, I think, maybe kind of taking a step down from the level that they were playing at last year. And there usually seem to be a team that maybe takes them a couple weeks to get things, you know, reorganized for the next year, but then they're really strong as they come down the stretch. So I'm going to give Underwood the advantage here in this one, and I'll take the Eagles. Jim.
Yeah, Underwood wins, Logan Magnolia loses, but I think Logan Magnolia probably played a better opponent last week, without a doubt. I don't really know what Trainer's got going for them this year, but this could be a lot better game than maybe folks would think about up front. Underwood did look pretty good last week, and Logan Magnolia always plays pretty strong at home, but I'm gonna give Underwood the edge, but this one makes me nervous.
Yeah, it could be a really interesting game. That's two for the Eagles. Doug, what do you think?
I really don't know. That's a good question. Do I have to choose? I guess we do have a limited time, and I will have to make up my mind at some point. I did like Underwood's balance. They were a little bit productive on the ground, and they were able to throw the ball around a little bit too. Had a couple receivers over 100 yards, and Lomah definitely struggled to get the offense moving. But I think that's probably a testament to St. Albert's defense more than a lack of offense. If this was in Underwood, I'm going to take Loma. We got to break things up, Jim. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. That's one for Logan Magnolia. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I'm kind of like everybody else. I think this is going to be a lot better ball game because Logan Magnolia in the past, they will make those adjustments from week one to week two, understanding that, this is another non-district game that really for them, the season starts next week. And so, they can afford that luxury these first couple of games of making mistakes. Underwood, I think, is still, still coming off of last year and still have some momentum going. I think things have kept right on rolling for them last week against Trainers. So it's on the road at Logan up there. Tough ball place to come in and win, but I still think it's going to be close when Underwood squeaks it out.
All right, so we're leaving Doug out there on a limb with Loma at home. Interesting.
Those limbs worked out so well for me last week.
All right, that's going to wrap up a few games here for us. We've got a couple left. We'll go ahead and take a break and come back and get those last couple of picks in here for you in just a moment here on Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win? Two more picks on the sheet. And the first one is another Class 2A, 1A matchup as Red Oak goes on the road to take on Trainer, two teams that are trying to get a victory here this week after falling last week. And let's see, who gets this one? Jim.
Yeah, I'll take I Have No Clue for $1,000, Alex. Can I phone a friend?
Yeah, who do you want to call?
I have no idea. I don't know that there is anybody who would care enough to answer my call. Red Oak at Trainer. Yikes. I don't even know how to analyze this one. I'll go with Trainer. They're at home. I don't see a lot of great things happening for either one of these ball clubs this year, but we'll try Trainer at home.
All right, that's one for the Cardinals. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, Trainer had the tough game that we mentioned against Underwood. Didn't really get a whole lot going offensively. They did throw for some yards, but not very effectively, and had a couple of interception as well. The Red Oak Tigers, they played a tough team in Southwest Valley. I think they're a decent squad, and it's fairly close, and they even led 28-20 going into the fourth quarter. So apparently had some issues with giving up some turnovers, leading to some short fields for Southwest Valley. So I think Red Oak is going to go on the road, and the Tigers will emerge victorious.
All right, that's one there for Red Oak. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I think Red Oak last week in their loss, they gave up 405 yards, and I think that's going to be an issue for them this week. Trainer's going to be at home. They did or were able to put up some decent yardage last week against Underwood when they had to. If Trainer can eliminate turnovers, I think that'll bode well for them. Like that was part of their issue last week against Underwood, turning the ball over and not getting some drives consistently going for them. So with that being said, being at home, Red Oak's defense a little porous, so I'm going to go with Trainer.
All right, that's two there for the Cardinals. And yeah, I guess kind of opposite of how Red Oak benefited, or suffered from some turnovers there last week. Trainer kind of did the same things to themselves last week with a couple of interceptions thrown. Didn't take care of the football real well, but they're a team that really likes to put the ball up into the air, and I think that's depending on who you match up against, sometimes that gives you a big advantage, and I think that's something that they can exploit against Red Oak here a little bit in this one. And it's just it's hard to imagine a Trainer going 0-2 to start the season, and especially on their home field. So I'm going to go with Trainer as well, and I'll leave Doug out there with the old Red Oak Tigers.
Starting to sense a trend.
Tiger growl there.
Bound to get one of these, right? And then our last game here on the sheet is our broadcast game here tonight. We'll be in Shenandoah as the Shenandoah Mustangs play host to the Atlantic Trojans. Atlantic getting the big victory here last week with that late field goal there by Mr. Weezer to put it through and get them the victory 16-14. And Atlantic trying to go 2-0 here on the season. Doug, are they going to be able to do it?
I was impressed by Atlantic's fortitude there in the second half of the game. They came out, looked really good at the beginning of the game, they were really able to shut out Clarinda's rushing attack in the first half, and did some things to get the ball in the end zone, and then it kind of, the momentum really switched. Clarinda seemed to be able to, you know, run the ball. I wouldn't say at will, but pretty well in the second half. And, you know, when they got down, you kind of had that feeling almost that maybe, oh, we're going to be kind of facing the same situation we did last week and or last year. And they were able to come get the ball back again and kick that field goal at the end. Coach Leonard was yelling to go for it on fourth and one, but Coach McDermott is obviously much smarter than Coach Leonard, and so it was great. And I was, you know, impressed. A couple other notes I made about the game: the kicking, you know, the field goal obviously at the end was great. Punting was very good. I thought they put out the ball well and had a couple players step up and create some turnovers on defense with some nice hits there. And I thought Austin Mualia was gonna score there at the end when he got that fumble recovery. But you know, I think the thing with our district that we play in, you know, I think Atlantic needs to win the games that they could win. You know, I mean, there's some teams that are really tough in this district, and you know, they're gonna be really tough matchups. But this is a game I'm sure Atlantic thinks that they can win. They match up well, and I think they've got some good talent. So I think Atlantic is gonna go on the road and win.
All right, that's one there for the Trojans. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, just to build off of what Doug had to say there, along with the kicking game, also our kickoffs. You know, when we had the opportunity to kick off, I think every one of those kickoffs was right at the 10-yard line, if not inside of it. So that's another big plus. I don't think Clarinda had any of their offensive starts following kickoff past the 20. So, you know, down the road, those are nice to have, give that other team some long ways to go to the other end. But with that said, I think Atlantic cleaned a few things up, no turnovers, so that's another plus for them. On the flip side, Shenandoah, you know, came up with a loss, but they, you know, kind of gave up quite a few yards against HSTW, especially through the air. I think gave up 120, 130 yards, quite a bit on the ground. Jordan Miller is probably not, you know, back there at quarterback, a little smaller quarterback, so they're going to struggle if they have to throw the ball, it looked like. So if we can just, again, stop the ground game and force them out of their element, because they definitely want to run the ball, Atlantic should come up on top. So I think Atlantic, they build off of last week and know this first half of their schedule is some competitive and winnable ball games, and if they can get that momentum going, the, you know, second half is going to be awfully tough, but they'll deal with that when they get there.
All right, that's two there for the Trojans. Yeah, the Mustangs coming up short there in overtime to HSTW last week. It is a big change for them. They were replacing a lot of their offensive weapons from last year and the Johnson kid that pretty much did everything for them. They turned the ball over a couple of times through the air as well when they did try to throw it, so I think that is going to be something they struggle with here throughout the season. I liked what Atlantic was able to do from what I saw from the stats. I obviously didn't get to see the game, but it looked like Garrett Franken did, you know, what he needed to do there at the quarterback position. Jackson Eden with a few yards there on the ground, and then Grant Reed with a nice catch. Chase Mullinex played pretty well on defense and had those turnovers there that you took advantage of. So I think Atlantic will be able to do that again here this week against Shenandoah. They're already prone to turn the ball over a little bit and get themselves some short fields and get a win here on the road. So I'll go with Atlantic as well. Jim?
Yeah, I'm sure Atlantic's not happy with the way they played offense last week. They're just satisfied. They got the job done. But, you know, that's kind of neat because I listened to what you guys who were at the game talk about, and you're telling me that a lot of the intangible things, you know, well, we were advantageous. We took some turnovers here and there. We played solid defense. That's a key. And, you know, the kicking game was pretty good, both kicking and punting. And those are things at the high school level that, you know, you spend about 8 minutes a week working on because, you know, it's such a small part of the game. But it's a huge impact part of the game, you know, and you try to figure those things out. Who has kickers anymore, you know? You just hope for somebody that can just get the job done. So it sounds to me like they're working on some of those little detail things that can get you a win in a close game. 16-14 last week? Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, this is a game that's winnable for Atlantic despite being on the road. And, wow, what a confidence builder for where the program has been the last few years to if they could start 2-0 this year, especially picking up one on the road like that. That'd be great.
Clean sweep there for the Trojans there in our final pick here on the sheet. And Doug, Matt, I'm guessing you guys have varying opinions on who's going to win the Battle of the Northern Iowa Universities here this week.
Yeah, I would say we probably do.
Is that our tiebreaker this year?
That one's coming up next week, so we'll see how that plays out. That's going to wrap it up here for week number two of Who's Going to Win. We want to thank the folks at Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for bringing you the program. And stay tuned. We'll have high school football on the way here for you as we are in Shenandoah to bring you that contest with Atlantic and Shenandoah. We'll have our pregame coverage coming up here in just a moment, and then we'll get kickoff for you here tonight at 7 o'clock. Join myself and Mike Smith for the broadcast here on KJN. That wraps it up for Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.